Force will be with you. Always.
Hello, geek and geekettes. It's time to nerdgasm over the next episode of The Alien Offensive.
Engage.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of The Alien Offensive. We've been off for a few weeks, but we are back now to have some discussions for your sci-fi needs, help you nerd it up, get that nerdgasm going for you. You've got Mark Ademus here. I'm sure you have heard of me from the Sports Offensive podcast we have. I'm sitting across the table from Nate Dogg from South Dakota, also a member of our Sports Offensive podcast. How are you doing today, Nate?
I'm doing great, Mark, and excited to do another Alien Offensive show. We've had some pretty good results, I think, with the show thus far, and maybe going to have some fun today, maybe get into one deeper topic, and we'll see where it goes.
Excellent. Yeah, we're going to cover today, we like to do a top 10 list or our top overall list of certain things. We always find that kind of enjoyable, especially in the sci-fi geek realm, fantasy realm. So we're going to do a top 10 villains. So we're trying to keep these villains in the sci-fi fantasy genres, right?
Correct.
Those kind of villains, not a villain. Let's say you brought up the Butcher from Gangs of New York, who's a great villain.
Hans Gruber, let's say.
Oh, what? Right? Yes, my gosh, what a great villain. In fact, his brother Simon's a great villain, too, in the third movie.
Yes.
But, yeah, we are segmenting this only into the sci-fi fantasy realm, the genre, if you will. The second thing we're going to go over is, and I know you know some of you may be saying, you know, you're talking Star Wars on every show, but you know what? We love
Star Wars,
and it's the most, you know, it's just a popular thing, and, you know, we'll spend more time on other things as we be able to see more sci-fi movies. It's just been so, I've been so busy with work, he's been so busy with work, we're just not spending time watching those kind of things right now.
This brings up a great point. I think you and I need to figure out a way to communicate with our listeners, since we're kind of not doing this live at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would be great to hear from people. What kind of topics do you guys want us to talk about?
Well, we could make our own Twitter and have that for next week and then, or for our next show. And we do spread a lot of information around on the Sports Offensive tweet site. And we have always gotten a very good response, very strong response to this show, so we're glad to be able to bring you another episode. And as I said, after the villains, we're going to discuss the Episode 9 news. Now, we both were not fans of the Last Jedi film, so we're not that concerned about spoilers. But if you are, we are going to delve into some stuff. I mean, it's all rumors.
It's all speculation.
But it could end up being real. And if it is, I don't want, if you want to go in fresh to the movie, I don't want to spoil it for you, neither does Nate, so you can go ahead and not listen to that portion of the show. We'll say something before we start talking the spoilers that have come out, which will probably be most of the time we talk about the film. But there's just a lot of stuff that's leaked about Episode 9.
Yeah.
True or not, that has leaked this last week and a half. So,
and then I think we'll just finish up with some banter and have some fun at the end.
Yeah, yeah. We don't actually have a time limit set up for this thing because it's being recorded offline, so it could be 45 minutes, could be 6 hours, but I'm guessing more towards the former and less towards the latter. So, the top 10 villain list. So we'll start at the bottom of our list and we'll work our way up. And we'd also like to kind of posit what it would be like to have this villain face off against this villain and see who might come out victorious.
Just to throw an interesting twist in there. I mean, basically I did base my list on who kind of my favorite villain are, or, you know, who were the most powerful. But I didn't necessarily match them up against each other until we thought about that maybe right at
the end. No. That's not how I created my list. But
it'd just be fun to say, how's this guy do?
I
think it'll make it fun, right? So
Do you have 10, 11, 12? How many do you have?
I got 10.
So I actually have 11.
Okay, sure.
So I'll call my 11th, what do you call that? The one that's not actually a winner, but something nomination or something like that.
2ND. I don't know.
2ND. Exactly. Oh my gosh. What do you call that? The honorable mention.
Oh.
I can't believe it took me that long to remember that. So I have Benjamin Linus. Now, you and I were huge Lost fans those first, like,
and he was
five
fantastic
seasons. And boy, he was, I mean, he was so weird and so non-conventional, but in other ways, very conventional in that he's that scrawny, you know, doesn't impress you at the first look, but the guy is the devious mastermind behind everything kind of guy, even though that persona kind of took hits as the show went along. Mm-hmm. But the episode where he and the Jacob, you know, kind of come to a head, and then he kills him, you know, with the help of the, well, it looked like Locke, but it was actually the man in the smoke monster, mm-hmm. or the man in black, whatever you call him, mm-hmm. that, you know, that he killed Jacob, or you know, I still don't understand what was going on at the end of Lost, because that show didn't make any sense. They obviously didn't plan ahead, but
no, they did not.
That was quite a scene when he's sitting there saying, you know, what about me? What about me? And he's just like, what about you? And it's like, could you imagine you just spent like 25 years of your life in like essentially like a cult, and you think you're doing the bidding of the cult master, and like you're going to get a reward for this, you know, for all of your hard work. And then he's just like, I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow.
You always do what I say. Why would I care?
Right. It's like, yeah. Trump and Cohen. Right. It's like, yeah. everybody's turning on each other
all
as
right.
they go in.
You got 11. I'll throw an 11 in there. Mine will be Hal.
Oh.
The computer from 2001.
I thought about putting him in. Yeah. Good villain. Good yeah. villain. Especially because it's a not.
It's an AI. An
unemotional
villain, right?
Villain. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And what did Hal think he was going to accomplish?
That's
Don't
great,
you wonder?
Well, of course.
Did he just want to fly around on his own? And I mean, I guess he just thought that he was going to get disconnected, and so his whole thing was self-preservation.
I think that's more what the premise of the show was, yeah, his self-preservation, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But there was a malignant under, you know, tone to it, obviously.
Right.
He was trying to kill, you know, for whatever reason. So, yeah, I don't know if he felt provoked or he thought.
Well, it was.
That's right.
I can't remember how it starts. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Me neither. Man.
There's something happens where they're starting to worry about Hal. Like, he wants to complete a mission and do something unsafe or something. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they start saying, like, talking, you know, like, no, we're in control here. And then they go to try and be secretive, and he reads their lips through that window. And that's when he knows they're trying to disconnect him. At that point, that's when he starts sabotaging.
Right, right.
So
that's right.
I do need to see that movie again, though.
I do, too.
The end of that movie was terrible, though. To me, it's like Inception or Interstellar. I hate the end of both of those movies.
Oh, yeah? I like the end of Interstellar.
I guess it's just, I mean, I get the kind of metaphysical kind of endings that they do to make, you know, make it weird, but it's also to me like,
well,
but what happens, you know, what happened? We don't, you know, that doesn't make any sense, really.
Well, I think it's open for interpretation, you know, that's
sure.
that's the art part about it, right? It's just an artsy ending, so.
But at least in Interstellar, they merged it in a way that was the message that they were getting all along in the dust was, you know, that
yeah,
was actually
love.
Him kind of thing, so.
Yeah, well, love, right? That was the big thing, right? Love transcends.
Oh, is that what it was?
Time or whatever. Sure.
I still the part about that movie that got me the most was when they went down to that planet with the water and
yes.
didn't realize that they were just like it's like the whole planet was water and those aren't mountains, those are waves, you
yes.
know? And then they come back out and realize that the gravity was much higher than they anticipated
mm-hmm.
and that like 25 years or whatever it was went by in like 45 minutes or something like that. And mm-hmm. it's crazy to think like what did that guy on the ship do for 25 years and not go crazy?
Well, he was crazy when they came back. Remember?
Was he?
Yeah. I mean, he
just. I just remember he had like a beard and stuff. But
he was weird, though. You know?
Was he?
Yeah, he was all strange.
Okay. That was a strange movie. But I mean,
yeah.
I loved the movie up until like
yeah.
just the very end.
And it
end.
Was pretty and the acting was good. And
yeah. No, yeah. it was a cool story.
Yeah.
I mean, Nolan makes good movies. Memento is one of my favorites ever. And
it was original,
so is Inception.
Too, which was cool, right?
Yes.
It's very original.
Finally.
We don't have a lot of those. So,
all right. Top 10. You
well,
want to go first? Let me go first.
You go first.
So my number 10, I have Joffrey, and I hope I'm saying it, Baratheon, I think is how you say his
Bethaeon?
Name.
Is it?
No, it's Bethron. I think it's Baratheon.
Baratheon.
It's Game of Thrones. He takes over for his dad, Robert, who dies in the first season, and then he has the Hand of the King killed and takes over, and he's only about 13 or 14 years old.
Sure.
And he's a super arrogant guy, and there are few characters I've hated more. And it's so funny. I think about when I was younger, I didn't like certain actors if I hated the characters they had. And then as I got older and matured, I realized, wow, that's how good of an actor they were that they made you hate them. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Sure.
So if any of you out there are Game of Thrones fans, I'm sure you'll you probably go on board with that one.
You know, I've seen it just enough, and I hate to start the list so boring and have the same person as you, but that's who I got as well. He's, you know, he's current. He's in the news. He's an awful person.
Yeah.
You know?
And he does the smug part so well.
Yes, he does. You
know, like, arrogant, like, I deserve to be this.
He's entitled.
Spoiled, rotten, yes. You know, king. You know, he was a king.
Absolutely, and he is evil as fuck.
Yeah, boy, that show still gets so confusing. I haven't seen the most recent season yet. I was gonna kind of wait for the new one to start up and then kind of do it all in the blitz. But, so number nine, I have Cohagen from Total Recall. Mm. For me, it's the old Total Recall, not the new one. Yeah. Bryan Cranston's a great actor, but he was not. I don't know who the guy was who played Cohagen, but he was a great sci-fi villain type guy.
Yes, he was.
He could see. Oh, he was in RoboCop too. Remember? So yes. You know, he's the same role really. He's like the high powered. You know, executive guy who's evil and has no morals whatsoever, and was, you know, punishing the people for Quaid's actions and things like that, and then also then they reveal that he was actually like in cahoots the whole time. So
that was a great movie, way ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was, and that's it's a story by Philip Dick or
no, it's not Philip Dick. It's not Asimov.
Is it Ray Bradbury?
It could be Bradbury.
Yeah.
It's one of the greats for sure. Or is it...
We can remember it for you wholesale is the name of the story.
Who did War of the Worlds?
That was Orson Welles.
No, it's not Welles.
Well, anyway, if you want to check out the story, it is called We Remember It For You Wholesale. And it was not called Total Recall. It's a story that was just the name of the company.
Right, so. But Total Recall based on that.
Right, yes. Right. Yours?
Number nine for me, Lex Luthor. just, you know, a normal guy that was able to compete with superpowers because he was so intelligent. That's why I got him a nine. He was a dangerous person. Very dangerous.
You know, a lot of actors have played Lex Luthor and not a lot of them have played him well.
And some good actors. I mean, Kevin Spacey is the one that comes to mind.
I didn't like his interpretation.
I didn't either.
I liked Gene Hackman's. I wish he had been bald the whole time. But
yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg, in some ways, I think he's great. But I haven't really actually seen all the way through Justice United, so I don't know if he's the villain. I don't know who the villain is in that movie. I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
Yeah, I don't know.
In DC movies, I don't like them that much.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Eisenberg fan, so that probably makes me biased.
I do like him from Social Network Zombieland.
I've got him typecast that he's just this pussy from Zombieland. And he was great in that, don't get me wrong. I just didn't like the character that much, and I don't know,
I like him as a cerebral villain.
Yeah, he is a great cerebral villain. Great way to put it, but I do have him overall as my number nine.
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely an iconic.
Just a classic example of what manipulation can do, right?
You know what he reminds me a lot of is in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that brain thing?
Yeah.
What was that? I don't know what that, I didn't remember it was called, but.
I don't know.
And he had like that synthetic body, he could put him in like the abdomen and he controlled the body. I loved those toys.
Dang, what was he called?
Craig or Crank or Crying?
Man, something like that.
You probably could look it up.
Yeah, I could.
So moving on to number eight, for me is the Xenomorph from Alien or Aliens. I still think that the Xenomorph was best in the original movie. I don't think it's ever been quite as good since, although the Queen in Aliens was outstanding. Now, the alien in Alien 3 was terrible because it was all CGI and it was not at time for it yet. Alien Resurrection was good, but the aliens kind of had a smaller role, it seemed like, in that movie than the characters did. Alien versus Predators, I don't really consider those canon for the most part. I mean, it was an interesting idea. And then new one, the Alien Covenant, right? Is that what it was? Was it Covenant? I can't remember what it was called.
Covenant.
I did not like that film. Boy, it felt like they just... It felt like there was too much backlash online from the people who don't like to think when it comes to sci-fi and that kind of genre. And instead of going a really cool story route, which was them hunting down the engineers and learning about them, it just became a simple slash movie. And it was like, eh, it's not quite the same when it's not like well, it didn't
the story,
make any sense.
Yeah, the story was just wasn't very good or very interesting.
Yeah, it's very vanilla.
Yeah.
And I don't
all
like
of it
those.
Took place kind of in one setting, too, and it wasn't like that exciting of a setting.
Yeah.
Like they were on this alien planet, but they were kind of like in these. Like caverns, I guess, or like, it just kind of wasn't that exciting.
And then they breathe in the spores, and that kind of starts the whole thing.
If they
were
trying to save money on, you know, CGI or what?
I think they told James Cameron that you're going to have to speed along your connections into Alien.
That was James Cameron. I didn't realize.
Or
that.
Who's the guy? Or is it Ridley Scott?
Yeah, Ridley Scott.
Yeah, Cameron is the Avatar. Yeah. Which I still don't think those are going to ever get made, but we'll see. Supposedly they're making two more of them or three more of them right now.
Two, I think, is what I heard. But it never materializes. I don't think they've even started production on it.
Well, and the main actor from the first one, he's got to be 15 years older now. So we'll see
least.
What happens. And so it'll probably be like 18 or 20 years older by the time the films come out, if they even come out.
I feel like if we matched up your number 8 against my number 8, who is Magneto, we would have like a really like good contest, you know?
That would be something. I wonder,
the alien doesn't have any metal in it, I don't think.
No, but you could crush it all the time.
Yeah, if there was something around for him to crush it.
Because it likes to use like small pathways and things. Yeah. And that's the thing with Magneto, is like in all the alien movies, like everything is metal, right? These ships and everything. Yeah. So I bet he could just, you know. But also his ability to fly, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know Magneto can't fly, but he's got the metal on his wrists, his ankles, and his head, so that he just lifts himself with those things.
So he can repel it off the magnetic pull of the Earth, right?
I think so, something like that. Or he just controls the metal and just lifts the metal up or something. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
I'm not sure how it works. Although that would make more sense because the other way would seem kind of awkward. But,
but
he doesn't really fly. He just kind of hovers usually.
Right.
So. Whatever.
But that's a power. That's quite a power, that being able to manipulate metal, right?
Yeah, it works well.
Remember, was it the second or third X-Men where he like pulls the lead out of the guy's blood?
Yeah, that's number 2, I think.
That was pretty cool.
Is it number 2?
2 or 3?
I think number 2 is when he's in the cell and breaks out. Yeah I can't remember for sure. That might be the third one. I think it's the second one.
I can't remember.
I mean, I know the story points of the first, second, and third one, but... Yeah, Stryker's kind of more the villain in the second one, but
and there's another great villain.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of Wolverine movies.
Yeah,
Magneto's awesome though because both actors to play him in the modern times were so good. I mean, obviously you've got
Ian McKellen,
one of the greats, Gandalf, and he's been in a lot of great roles. I mean,
he's an amazing actor. He's an incredible actor,
and he gives it so much gravitas. You know, him and Patrick Stewart playing off each other as
presence,
the two friends,
doesn't he? He just has presence.
It's like Daniel Day-Lewis, right? Yeah. Like whenever you watch him, it's just like I just want to keep watching because I just want to watch you. I don't know why I want to watch you, but I want to watch you. Just charisma, right? It's just they've got the panache, or whatever it is. Yep. And then Michael Fassbender, who also plays the android in Alien Covenant, he plays the young Magneto.
Yes.
And boy, is that scene in the bar in Brazil where he kills those three Nazis. I mean, what a scene that is. That's just one of the coolest scenes.
It's awesome.
And then to bring those two actors together. Yeah. I know they weren't actually on screen together or whatever, but still to bring all the characters together in Days of Futures Past. Mm-hmm. That's why that's always going to be my favorite sci-fi movie, because it was just they tied it all together so well that they just made it super engrossing.
Yeah,
you know?
No, those movies were great. First Class was great as well.
Plus, getting to have what's the speed dude? I never read the comics. I'm terrible with names.
The speed dude.
Yeah, the guy that breaks him into the cell and breaks Magneto out.
Oh gosh, what is his name?
Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they actually had a Quicksilver in the Marvel universe for without. So Fox does these the X-Men. They own the X-Men, but then everything else is owned by Disney through Marvel.
Yes.
So
and what's the actor's name? Evan Turner or Evan something or other. He's on American Horror Story.
Yes. 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 And I'm so angry that American Horror Story doesn't have The Cult season out yet on Netflix. I guess I'll probably wait until.
Have you not seen that one yet?
No, I never watched any of it until recently. I watched the first season, which I thought was really good.
Okay.
The second season I haven't really liked, although everyone else like tells me it's their favorite, the one in the asylum.
Oh, uh-huh.
And while there's some cool parts to it, I also get bored watching that one. But then I've heard that some of the other ones are really bad. Like Coven, I guess, they said it was really bad.
Okay.
And Roanoke, I heard was okay.
Roanoke, that was the first time I ever watched it. It was Roanoke. I was not that impressed.
And that's the witches one? No, that's Covenant.
Yeah, that's Covenant. Roanoke is like about a, I don't know if it's a curse. Kind of a curse, I guess.
Okay.
There was a civilization that was one of the first civilizations in America back in like the 1500s.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
Well, they just disappeared up in... They were just up and gone one morning.
Oh.
And nobody knows where they went, and there's really very little trace of them. And it was, you know, a couple hundred people at least in this settlement.
It's in Virginia, right?
They just disappeared, right. And all that they found really at the site of the city was something carved on the tree, and it was... it's some crazy Latin word or like backwards word.
Is this modern times discovering this land? Is he trying to figure out what happened to him, or is this like in the past people trying to figure out what happened to
this?
No, this
is modern times. So
okay.
The premise of the show, basically a young couple buys a house in Roanoke, an old mansion, like huge mansion, and it's haunted, and it's on this land that's supposedly from some of those people that were there way back when the thing disappeared.
Okay.
And they go and kind of delve into that whole thing about their idea on how those people from Roanoke kind of disappeared, I guess.
What happened to them?
That's, but it's more of a smaller faction of that. You know, these people practicing witchcraft and things like that, too. So,
If I can figure out how to do witchcraft, I'll do the same thing.
Interesting premise, and the way they kind of do the show is kind of interesting. They kind of incorporate the show being filmed as a reality series, but then so they do it with these kind of unrecognizable actors, and you're like, oh, wait,
cool.
Is this real? Like they make it seem like it's real, you know? So it's kind of done okay, but then the way it finishes is kind of...
It was confusing to me at first how many actors are carried over from one season to the next, but then they're a completely different person.
Right.
Or character, you know, because it's a whole different show, right? I do want to see the freak show or the circus one.
Yeah.
Just because of that one midget girl I know it's terrible because it's like a spectacle to watch, but it's also just wild to watch. It's just like, she's tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a tiny person. It's terrible. It's like watching that video of the person falling down the stairs,
The bearded lady.
You just can't stop watching, you know? Let's see.
I like, the one last season was really done really well.
The Cult?
Yes. Again, the way it finished, disappointing, but man, like the first like 6-7 episodes, I was like really engrossed.
Yeah, I heard the first three were
really
just killer.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. So many shows don't finish with a bang.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think they just, the climax is,
it's hard.
In the improper spot.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't crescendo at the right moment.
I think so. I think
that is key.
It gets too much going too early.
Yeah.
And then by the time it's, it peaks, and then the drop off at the end.
It's just like hooking up with that girl who's just too hot, and you just can't make it to the appointed time. Let's see. Number 7. I've got the Borg.
The
from
Borg.
Star Trek.
Yes.
Big
I have
fan of the Borg.
Smaug.
Yeah,
yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
From The Hobbit. I always thought he was great in the cartoon version of The Hobbit as well. I can't remember who the voice was.
I thought he was better, yeah. I agree. I was a big fan of the first Hobbit movie. Like, I thought the first Hobbit movie was absolutely terrific.
It wasn't Obi-Wan Kenobi, was it? Sir Alec Guinness?
No, he's been dead for a long... Oh, in that.
Yeah, in the cartoon.
In the old one. It might be, yeah. I think that might be right.
I can't remember if it's him or not.
That sounds right. I guess I don't know for sure, but
yeah.
I know what you're talking about, that like cartoon one. It's kind of like the old, it's like the British style of cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a weird type of animation, but
it's like stencil pencil drawing,
mm-hmm.
animation, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Is that the way you would put it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, good villain. I love the Borg because I just think the Borg is a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's just like this relentless enemy that just, there is no leader and stuff. And I know they kind of changed that in First Contact, having that one lady being like the actual Borg. Yeah. But that's also one of my favorite Star Trek movies of all time. So
I'll give you the win for the last round, but I think Smog tears up the Borg.
I'm guessing he could just beat him into a pulp.
Just,
so,
or just burn him into a crisp.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's got the fire breath. That is cool.
He's
so
pretty evil.
Number six, I've got Emperor Palpatine.
Oh,
Darth Sidious.
Wow. I have the Predator.
Yeah, like the Predator.
Yeah, and that would be a good matchup right there.
Oh, that would be.
Ooh. I think the Emperor is too smart, though, maybe.
I just think the lightsaber might be too hard to... If he's able to block the Predator's blaster bolts with the lightsaber, then I think Emperor Palpatine just crushes him. Now, if he can't do those, if those bolts can go through the lightsaber or, you know, still hit him, then, or they're just not the right nature to be bounced off, then it becomes a very difficult fight.
Well, I think the other big advantage is the cloaking part of it, right, for the Predator.
But
whereas
I'm guessing as a
Palpatine's going to be able to sense.
Right. A Jedi is going to be able to see, know where you are. Well, a Sith. That was actually a side question I was going to ask you because there was a poll on Facebook, and it had, like, would you rather be this, or this? But two of the things, one of them was an Assassin's Creed character, and one of them was, I think it was a... what was it? It was some other genre thing that was like, those things aren't that cool, because the third one was a Jedi. And you're like, well, who would not pick a Jedi over these other two things? But what I thought would be a good competition would be, would you rather be a Jedi or would you rather go to Hogwarts and be a magic? I'm a wizard.
Oh, boy. I mean, as cool as it would be to be a Jedi, I think I'd rather go to Hogwarts. It'd be more fun.
Oh, for me, yeah, it's not even a question.
Jedi,
magic is
you
amazing.
And I think there's, you know, there's kind of a boring discipline aspect to being a Jedi, you know, whereas I think you get the kind of have some fun when you're a witch.
I totally agree. So, yeah, I'd be a witch in a heartbeat.
That's a good question, though.
Even though I love the Star Wars movies more than Harry Potter.
Sure.
But I do love Harry Potter, the books. I mean, the movies are really good. I like the last, like, four movies especially. But, boy, I tell you what, if you haven't read those books are just amazing.
I think Predator, he wouldn't stand a chance against the Emperor. And I have the Emperor, I'll be honest, up a couple higher.
Yeah.
So that's why.
It was a great villain because he was a mastermind. And it just proved that he was, I mean, Lucas did a really good job of, like, two different times this guy coming up with amazing schemes. One was to put the Republic at war with itself and not realize that it was fighting itself, and then use that to install yourself as an emperor, and then, which is kind of like copying Caesar, right? And then in the second trilogy, in the original trilogy, you know, you got him doing the mastermind thing of tricking them to thinking that they're going to get a sneak attack on him, and instead it was actually a trap to just decimate them. And so it was, you know, and if it wasn't for just blind luck, he would have done so, you know, so he almost did it. So,
no, absolutely.
Good films.
And you had who at five?
Oh, I haven't done five yet. Okay. So five for me is Khan, you know. And the Ricardo Montalban.
Yes.
Not the ridiculous one JJ came up with.
Right. Not the Benedict Cumberbatch version.
No, I like him, but Khan should not have been copied or redone.
Right.
Reshot.
No, I agree. I think that's great. Well, in the mold of HAL, I have Skynet as my number five. Obviously, a very tough to kill a villain doesn't have a body. So.
Right. But you could say the Terminators were the extension of his will.
They were.
So
they were.
That was the mastermind, though, between basically doing what the what were the Matrix people called? I don't even know. Like, in the Matrix, who was the enemy? I mean, the Matrix was the world, and Alex Smith was like, or Agent Smith was.
It was that computer, right? He was like an AI computer.
Yeah, he was like a program.
Yeah,
and then the Matrix.
That's what it was. It was a computer program.
Yeah, but then, I mean, there was the Oracle, and there was the guy that designed the Matrix, you know, the mother and the father or whatever, and all this other stuff. But, like, who was the enemy? Like, who was controlling stuff? I don't even know. Do we ever know?
Well, remember, there's that guy at the end of the second one, I want to say, the bearded guy that talks.
That's what I'm saying. He was like the father. They
but
said.
I think
he was
just
the designer. He was the architect.
He was like a manifestation.
Well, he was the architect.
Okay.
So he was a planner or something like that. But I think he's still a program.
No, but I'm just saying that was a manifestation of the architect that came from the computer program that had like mutated or something, right?
Right, something like that. Yeah. So it's just kind of weird. Like, there's not like a name to really say who the enemy was. I don't think it was just kind of like it was just the computer as a whole, mm-hmm. robotics as a whole, that self-preservation thing.
Yeah, because I mean. Well, it was Agent Smith was an enemy, sort of, if you want to break
right.
it down.
Now, he was
that
a program,
way.
Though.
But
and then he became a
but
rogue
he was
program.
Part of the bigger picture, right?
He was at first, and then he broke away. Right. And then, like, the Matrix, whatever, who was behind that Neo saw when it was all those, like, swarming sentinels to make a face, mm-hmm. they worked with him to kill Smith because Smith was overtaking the whole thing.
Right. He was like a virus, right?
Smith, yeah, kind of. Yeah. Became one, yeah. And replicated a
That's
lot
another
of stuff.
Good villain right there, Smith. I don't have him on my list. He was a pretty good one.
I only liked him as a villain in the very first film because after the first film, it just became like the what to me plagues the DC universe, mm-hmm. which is villains versus good guy fights are just punch you, 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 punch you. Oh, super punch, and now it's over. And it never makes any sense to me why the person wins.
No, that's true. I love that actor, though.
Oh, yeah.
That plays Mr. Smith.
Because he also plays Elrond or whatever his name is.
He plays Elrond in
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. He's in a couple of different movies as the bad guy. Wasn't he in the recent Tarzan?
I never saw
that.
Yeah,
I think he was. Anyway. No,
he definitely blossomed into a whole bunch of roles after that Mr. Smith role.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other guy, the German guy from Inglourious Basterds, or the Austrian guy.
An Inglorious Bastard.
Well, the guy, character. The general or whatever that's at the very beginning when they go into the house.
Oh, what is his name? Oh, the guy, the bounty hunter in Django.
Is it Hans? No, it's not Hans. But he's like in real life, he's Austrian. But he always plays like good evil characters.
Was that his first?
He's
role?
In James Bond.
Well, yeah, he's in Django Unchained, too.
Yeah, Django Unchained. Yes.
He's also in Big Eyes. I mean, he's in a lot of movies. Yeah, he's in that Mission. Is it Mission Impossible he was in?
Yes.
But,
no,
yeah, what is his name?
James Bond. He's in James Bond.
I know he's in James Bond, yeah.
I'm totally drawing a blank on his
I feel terrible that
right
I don't know
now.
His name. He's won 2 Academy Awards,
I know.
Anyway.
I keep wanting to say Hans, but I don't think it's Hans.
Well, was he the Jew Hunter? Was his moniker in Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah, well, either way, he plays a great bad guy. Just like Mr. Smith, he plays a great bad guy as well.
And he is a mesmerizing type. He's very charismatic, mm-hmm. but he's also very limited, mm-hmm. I guess. And I hate to say it that way, but he, no matter what character he is, and he's a great actor, but whatever role he's playing, he plays it like as the same guy.
Sure.
It's almost like he's the same guy, and you just replace his intentions or his name, and that's
sure.
it. You know?
I mean, a lot of actors get caught up in that, I think.
Sure. The one that plays in Battlestar Galactica, the vice president, the initial vice president, or the one that gets...
James Edward Olmos?
No, the lady.
Oh.
She was in Sneakers, and she was in Out of Africa with Robert Redford.
Yeah.
And
Nicole Kidman?
No.
No.
Mary McDonald?
Oh, okay.
Maybe her name is? I can't remember. She's the same way to me, though. Every movie she's ever in, every role, even on TV, she's the exact same character, just with a different name or a different job or a different motive, but she doesn't play them any different.
Sure.
She just plays herself, you know? Which, again, to me, the hardest part about acting is seeming natural. And that's why that one makes a good actor to me.
No, I agree. I think female roles are tougher, too.
Yeah.
Over time, I don't think there's been a whole ton of versatile female characters written about in time.
Well, men dominate the industry, right?
Yeah,
so,
no, of course. Yeah, so I think
of course, Meryl Streep and Jennifer Lawrence.
Jeez,
and
I feel bad. I don't have any females on my list. Do you?
No. They're not usually the lead bad guy.
Huh. So think about that for a minute.
In fairy tales, sometimes they are.
That's what I was thinking, right? I'm thinking like
witches.
The witches and
sorceresses.
Yes.
like Maleficent. Yeah, that was actually a better movie than I thought it would be.
Yeah, with Angelina.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't. It was. I thought it was gonna be terrible, and it wasn't. No, I don't. I guess the Borg. Technically, that central character on the Borg was that lady.
Right?
So, I guess I could say I've got one. Yeah, I just. How many times can you even think of them being the villain? Batman 3, right? When she was
Poison Ivy, or
no? I'm sorry, no. The Batman, the Dark Knight Alt Rises one.
Oh, Catwoman.
No, the one that controlled the strong dude, Bane.
Yeah.
The one that was in the daughter of the prison thing.
I don't remember her name in the movie.
Yeah, she was, but she was like she was the actual bad guy. She also played Maude in Inception.
Yeah.
I don't like her as an actress very much, but she.
Oh yeah, I like her.
She's very plain to me. Hmm. Very I don't know the right word.
Yeah.
That's as close as I can get.
Vanilla.
Yeah, kind of. Number four, I've got Thanos from Infinity War.
Oh, boy, I think that would be a great matchup. I got the Emperor, as I said. Mm-hmm. I had him up higher earlier. Emperor Palpatine / Senator Palpatine, yes.
/ Chancellor Palpatine.
Yep,
/
Chancellor, yeah.
/ Darth Sidious.
Known by many names, right?
Yeah. And Thanos, for me, I give a whole lot of credit to Marvel out of Disney, and what confuses me all the more that they haven't done Star Wars very well, mm-hmm. is how well they've done Marvel. Mm-hmm. And I've never read comics as a kid, and so I've heard some people who are big-time comic fans aren't happy with the movies.
Because it's not comic book-ish.
Or it doesn't follow the same rules or the same stories or what have you. And I totally understand that.
It's a different universe, for sure.
And I think about the people who tell me that they did like The Last Jedi. A lot of them are very casual fans of Star Wars. They just like the spectacle. They're not really deep into the story.
Yep.
And I could say the same thing. I'm only deep into the story as much as what the movies are doing, and then occasionally coming home and reading some Wikipedia about the comic series that it was based on or something. But, you know, so I can see how maybe that has a big effect on this, that maybe these movies, you know, it's not a huge comic book group. This was making it for the masses, and maybe that's why I like it better. But good villain. James Brolin did a great job. How in the world they've gotten to a point where they can make these movies that are obviously 80% CGI and these actors don't miss a beat anymore? And I think that George Lucas doesn't get as much credit as he deserves, that if he hadn't had it in the first episodes of Star Wars and made you okay there?
Thought I was going to sneeze.
And if you hadn't made those prequel movies that a lot of people didn't like because the actors... Oh, there it goes. And these characters couldn't... or these actors couldn't assimilate themselves into feeling that they were actually in the movie or in these universes. And now we've got these 7 different set locations with warp tunnels and stuff and going on this Infinity War movie. And I mean, there was not one time that I thought, oh, that was a boring scene, or did I check my watch? And that was like a 2.5-hour movie. And
I was maybe one of the best sci-fi movies I've ever seen.
So satisfying.
I mean,
everything that you were hoping to get. And I had no idea what was going to happen in the story. I purposely did not read about Thanos or anything before I went and saw it, so that it would be kind of fresh and new.
I didn't know anything about Thanos either.
Yeah,
so.
I kind of knew a little bit about the Power Stones, but I didn't even know how many there were and all that stuff. And I just remember coming out of that movie going, perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. There was not one time did I say, oh, you should have done this instead.
It's going to be hard for them to outdo that with the next one.
It is. Yeah. That was the zenith. That's kind of like, to me, that's kind of like the most wonderfully worked and tied together film.
Well, they're going to ride that train as long as they can. I mean, they're billion-dollar
movies.
Well,
it's the new phase, right? So it was phase 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the original Avengers. Was basically the whole point of all those movies, going back, starting with Iron Man, or actually starting with the Incredible Hulk, they said, with Edward Norton was the first one, mm-hmm. even though they replaced him with Mark Ruffalo. But that was like the culmination. Like the whole thing was designed to end up at Infinity War.
Yeah.
Now it goes into the next stage, and a lot of the heroes are done after this. Like I think Iron Man, Chris Evans, Thor, a number of them are like, I'm ready to be done.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a decade. Yeah. I don't want to be in this anymore. Yeah. And so it's going to be a whole new stage that comes in.
Sure.
Interestingly, when we get to Star Wars, there's some talk about how trying to tie that whole saga together in a final movie. So,
all right, well, let's tie up the list then.
Number three. I've got the Smoking Man from X-Files.
I have Khan.
Khan's great. I had him. He is my number two originally.
I love Smoking Man.
But I just thought about how much I used to look forward. I'll never forget when they moved X-Files to Friday night, or when it started at Friday night. And I remember it was in college, and we actually would like be like, well, we're going to go to this party or this frat house or whatever. It's like, we're going to watch X-Files. Then we're going to go out and party, because we all wanted to see what happened in X-Files next. And he was like that big, he was that wonderful villain. That he wasn't like, he was a villain, he was evil, but it was like he wasn't mean evil. He was like pragmatic evil, like kind of like Thanos.
Sure.
This is what has to happen to protect the human race, you know?
Absolutely.
So,
Joker, the Joker. Number two.
For me is Voldemort. Okay, the Harry Potter
Voldemort,
universe.
Great.
Now, who would win in their battle?
Ooh.
I mean, the Joker doesn't have any talents,
it depends
right?
on the context, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was like a fist fight or something, I think, you know, or
the
face-to-face battle.
It just seems like the Joker's strength was just that he's like a cult leader.
He's like Lex Luthor. He's a master manipulator.
Yeah. You know? But is he brilliant? Like, is he? I don't know from the comics and stuff.
Yes, brilliant.
He is supposed to be really smart.
A genius,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd be an evil genius to go up against Batman, right?
Evil genius. So.
But,
You know what it was for me that really had him that high up the list is how well he's been portrayed.
Yeah.
You know, in Hollywood.
Now, how would you rank that? Or who did it?
I mean, I've got to have Jack Nicholson at one.
Okay.
I think that was a pretty comic bookish, for lack of a better term,
movie. It was a Tim Burton movie.
It was a Tim Burton movie, right? It did have that comic book feel.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it really well, especially the musical parts. I was pretty impressed. So, yeah, Jack Nicholson for me, number one. I love Heath Ledger, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dark Knight, for a lot of people, was the best movie of the whole series.
It's the only one that I like.
Yeah. And I mean, I liked it, too. It's not my favorite of the three, but, boy, Heath Ledger was fantastic, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
If they had made that movie shorter and not made Harvey Dent's Two-Face part so big, because if you're going to make him a villain, make him a real villain. But it basically made him like a five-second villain at the end. And it worked in the story.
He was a martyr, right? He was more of a martyr.
But, yeah, I just kind of felt like it was a missed opportunity. But that was a cool, I don't know if it was CGI or makeup or however they did that, but that was cool.
Yeah.
But all I kept thinking was that wasn't realistic, because how would the guy keep his saliva from drying out completely with half of his face
something
gone?
Something weird with the chemicals in that factory, you know, that reacted.
I mean,
with
you're not supposed to put too much, think too hard,
of course,
you know.
Right. It just looks cool.
Yeah. Number one, I've got Darth Vader. I mean,
I got Darth Vader.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, he's the ultimate bad guy, especially if you're Star Wars fans.
But he's also the ultimate tragic hero, too. Right?
Became that, yeah.
Yes.
And you think about his progression, right? Because in the first movie, he was just like this super evil henchman, or super evil like leader, or bad guy, like the leader. Then you realize he's not actually the leader. He's like the head henchman.
Right.
Then you realize how he's like the main character actually of the whole trilogy in the third film. Then you go back to the first three films, and you realize that he was a hero, and then he fell from grace, and, you know, made his character so rich and everything.
But then ended up on the right side after it all was said and done.
Yeah, and then he came back in Rogue One and put a whooping on the Rebels, and that was one of the coolest scenes ever. And
in
I don't
Star
care
Wars
who
history.
People hated it. It was great. Screw you. That was awesome. Even if it kind of made the whole next movie a little confusing that he's just, you know, hey, we caught you. It's like, well, yeah, I just saw you take off from this from this other ship. I know you're the bad guy.
Yep.
Or I know you're the rebels when he catches Leia in you know, A New Hope. So, all right, so that'll do it for our top 10 list. So I think that was a good list.
Fun list. Yeah. You know, maybe some honorable mentions that come to mind for me. Negan from Walking Dead. I suppose people could say the governor. I wasn't a huge fan of his. I think the comic book, he's a little more evil.
Yeah, I didn't like the governor at all. Got bored.
Yeah, so that series, if you're a Walking Dead fan, there's some good villains. Megatron was one for me. And the Cobra.
Oh, and Mumra. Cobra and Destro,
yeah.
Mumra, dude. Mumra. Remember him?
Yep.
Mumra the ever living?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he became this big burly dude after being this little, you know, scraggly dude.
Yep.
Yeah, there's just a lot of good villains out there. But, The Thing. I thought about The Thing.
Yeah,
if the CGI had been better, you know, or if the graphics were better, you know, I would have said that he'd been a better villain. But the concept was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That just
mm-hmm.
took over and mimicked you. And, mm-hmm. you know, I never quite understand how it was able to converse with people, though.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
Talking to people, if it could think that well, you know, like
sure.
But then again, maybe you just say like it just didn't always take the form of something that could communicate, and it was just, you know, mm-hmm. who knows? Mm-hmm. It absorbed its host and became right. it, whatever. let's see. So moving on to Star Wars Episode 9, there's a number of things we can talk about. We can bring up anything on the side that you want to, but I thought we would just run down the characters that are rumored to be in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So again, at this point, we're going to talk about some stuff that we've read online. I don't care about spoilers at all for this last movie after The Last Jedi. I'm just like, you know what? Just convince me it's worth going to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm going to read the spoilers now. So if you want to go in completely fresh, and all of these rumors could be completely bogus.
False, yep.
You know, we'll go over the first four characters that we know are in the movie. This has actually been released by Disney, so if you want to listen to the first four and then turn us off, if you don't want spoilers, do it then. So the first four, though, these are all confirmed by
yes.
Disney to be in the movie. So let's start with Luke. Mm-hmm. So Luke has been signed to be in the movie. He's got a contract. Mark Hamill, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be a Force ghost, I assume?
I would imagine so. Yeah.
So does he appear to Rey?
Or either a Force ghost or there's a time jump.
Time backwards, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, and I did mention this. Well, not, well, I'll wait till the four characters are done. I don't want to mention anything else. Maybe spoiler. I was not super happy to hear about this, although I thought, you know what? It makes sense because Obi-Wan Kenobi came back, you know, in Empire.
Yeah, as
right
a
in the
Force
beginning.
Ghost, right?
Right, to talk to Luke.
Well, and if they're going to have some sort of culmination to the double trilogy,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe that's it's in that sort of context where it's all of the Force ghosts kind of coming together maybe at the end. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but if that's maybe some thought.
Well, that's kind of a spoiler thing that I was trying to.
Oops.
I didn't want to, like, give it, but yeah, but like the really
mean,
tying
yeah.
it together kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, so, I mean, it, but I just feel weird because who's he going to come back to? Like, Kylo? Rey? I mean, he spent, like, 2 days with Rey. What does he care about her? You know, I mean, he doesn't know her that well.
Yeah, but there's a connection because she's maybe possibly the last person with Force powers, you know, or...
Well, but we know that's not the case because that boy with the broom at the end of the movie...
Yeah, but Luke doesn't know that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
He thinks he might be the only
yeah.
person left.
Right. Dramatic
yeah.
irony, right?
Yeah. Number two is Leia. So Leia, Carrie Fisher, the actress that we, all of us, had many lustful dreams of as kids in the iron bikini from the Jabba scene,
yep.
Which we all loved as kids. And even though when we were too young to really get that part of it back then, but then as we got a little bit older, we're like, oh, hey, you know, so
yeah.
She fed many a cosplay fantasy, I'm sure, over the years. Sad that she passed away before getting to do her film. This was supposed to be the Leia focused film, a big time focus. I think that was another bad idea by Disney, as I think she should have been the focus of the first film.
Mm-hmm.
Or I understand Han to because he wanted to die off. But then she should have been the second film. But then again, I also don't believe that Luke should have ever not been in the first movie. So that's a whole other issue. They have said they're going to use scenes from of her that they filmed for the other two films and didn't use.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of the movie do you think she's in? Like, does she die early? Does she die?
It's a good question. Yeah, I think she dies. I think it's, you know, do we want to go into this?
Well, no, let's not get into it. I guess
okay.
Maybe that's a spoiler. I don't know. So
yeah,
save that
okay.
for a minute.
Okay, yeah. I didn't want to get too in depth.
Yeah, I don't really know any spoilers about her other than just going to use
that old
footage.
I don't think
she's
in the movie very long.
Okay.
20 minutes.
Yeah, I just know that her brother gave the okay to use her stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
I actually had no problem with the thought of recasting that role.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people did, But boy, they talked about doing Meryl Streep. I was like, you know what? Meryl Streep, yeah, she doesn't look exactly like her, but man, Meryl Streep is such an amazing actress. If she got into it and dove into it with both feet, she could have been crazy good. Of course, yeah. It depends on the writing, right? Because Laura Dern's a good actress, and the writing they did for Holdo was so bad that she made her look like a terrible actress. So,
yeah. Well, the whole... Well. That's another topic.
We've beaten that horse with a 2x4.
Yeah, yes, we have.
Number three, Billy Dee Williams, Colt 45 himself, is coming back to be Lando Calrissian.
That's like the only reason I'm considering going up on that. I didn't even. I still haven't even seen the Han Solo movie, so I was that mad about.
Han Solo's worth seeing. It's nothing great.
I mean, I'll wait till it comes out.
Yeah, it's worth seeing
on TV. Oh, I'll see it.
And so, I mean, the only thing I don't like is I feel like every movie they're bringing back an old character and then they just disgracefully dispose of them.
Miscast.
Well, no, I mean it's the same actors, but they just screw up their characters.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, Luke became a wimp, and then Han Solo became a smuggler again, and then dies for kind of no reason, and then Leia, you know, Mary Poppins her ways back to the ship, and then she...
Yeah, I heard Mark Hamill had some strong feelings surrounding Luke's character in Episode 8. So.
Sure. I mean, who wouldn't be like, right. Hey, thanks for ruining my character that I worked so hard on.
Yeah.
You idiot Johnson. God, that guy was, I will never believe that that guy was a Star Wars fan or ever saw a Star Wars movie before he wrote his film. He seemed to know nothing about the entire galaxy or mythos.
And just no regard for the franchise, man.
None.
You know, like...
It's like you don't have to spit on everybody just to move on to new characters.
Well, it's just totally... narcissistic, you know. He just wanted to come in, make his
narcissist.
Stamp.
Yeah,
he just wanted to make his stamp on it, you know. And it's like, dude, you just ruined the franchise for millions of fans.
Well, I love how some people are like,
it set up for anybody else to fix it.
You don't need all that fan service. You're like, well, you need some of it. Why do you think fans are showing up? Because you're giving them something they want.
Yeah, no, fan service is.
That's just. Yeah. I never understand people who like that movie.
Anyway, Lando, yes. That's like half the reason I would want to go to that movie. So
everything else here is now speculation. So if you don't want to hear spoilers
you said
or anything.
The first four
were
confirmed.
Carrie Russell, right? We know she's been signed. Is it Carrie Russell? What's her name? The one that was in Felicity Huffman. The show.
Carrie Russell.
It is Carrie Russell. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And she's in, like, The Americans, I think.
Yes.
Okay, so she's been signed to play a pretty big role.
Huh.
The spoiler stuff is what her role might be. They haven't said who she is yet. So that's why I don't want to... That's kind of the half-spoiler one.
So turn off your headsets.
Yeah,
folks.
Go ahead and turn off your radio and listen to the rest of this I don't know, in 17 months.
Yeah.
So they're saying that they hired her to be Mara Jade and that she could be the mother of Rey. So maybe she wouldn't be Luke's daughter, but she would be Mara Jade's daughter.
Yeah.
And how they have her in the film would be kind of a bringing her in, but not being the exact same character she was in the expanded universe. I think it's a dumb idea.
Carrie Russell's older, though, so...
Well, but so is Mara Jade at that point. I mean, Luke is 60.
Yeah, they're about the same age, right? Yeah.
Real quick side note. You ever think about how weird age works in Star Wars?
Yeah.
How many years were between Episode 3 and Episode 4?
20?
Right.
About, right?
Right. About 20.
Yeah.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi... So Darth Vader... went from a teenager or maybe 20 years old to 40. He don't look 40 in
Return of the Jedi.
Or in Empire Strikes Back. And I mean, like, yeah, maybe that's 3 or 6 years later, but still, 45 looks like an old, it looks like it's 80. Obi-Wan Kenobi looked decrepit. I mean, old. So,
yeah.
It never makes sense. Like, it kind of seemed like people, like, age happens faster.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But you could just say that, right? You could say, well, humans don't live as long out there. You know, you only live to be, you know, 60 is super old or something, you know. So, anyway, I just thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, no, the timeline stuff is pretty weird.
Yeah. But I understand it had to work for the movies.
Doesn't all match up,
So that might be who she is, might be Rey's mom. Mm-hmm. They're trying to say, like, you know, that the Kylo was just kind of feeding her a bunch of baloney.
Sure.
Also, one of the spoilers out for the idea, like the timing of the film, is that it's 5 years later or 6 years later, something like that.
Yeah.
And that Kylo is now viewed as a benevolent leader of the First Order that, like, it's so much propaganda or something like that, that, like, the galaxy kind of thinks he's a good guy, and, like, he's convinced everyone that, like, the Republic was evil and that he's giving them all what they really want and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, the Resistance has trouble because people are not even sure they want to fight him. They're kind of like, well, maybe he should be good king or good emperor or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like a really – it sound might be a bad idea, but at least some of the ideas I'm hearing at least sound better than the travesty that was the Last Jedi. So the next one is a dual one, which is Anakin and Vader. And is it Hayden Christian Anderson, or is it someone else, or what's going on there? So the idea is that in the first film, right, because JJ's coming back now after making the first film. And in the first film, one of the few original ideas in that film was that it seemed like Kylo had communicated with that helmet of Darth Vader, the melted helmet, right? Mm-hmm. She said, show me the dark side, or show me again, or whatever. Like, so it's like he's had some kind of a, there's some kind of a residual force in that helmet that he's been communicating with. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is, and the weird thing is, there's like four ideas that have come out of the spoilers that are very close to what was originally stated to be in the first film. And now you're starting to wonder, well, maybe they did have it planned out all the way to the third film. And these ideas people thought were discarded weren't discarded. They just didn't happen.
They
yet.
Just got thrown aside for a movie.
Right. Or that they were supposed to be later or sure. something. Or they were just ideas that were thrown out from the first film and said, oh, we're not going to do this anymore. And then JJ's like, well, now that I got another movie, let's go ahead and do these things. Mm-hmm. But there was always that idea of a force ghost that was half of it was gonna be like a half and half face or one face and then kind of like, you know, like glitching to the other one and back and forth as a hologram or a ghost.
Yeah,
between
kind
like
of that age old devil and angel on the shoulder.
Yeah, concept, so because it goes right? from Anakin to Darth Vader to Anakin to Darth Vader.
I think I actually heard that there was like some artwork released.
There
of
was
a scene right with this but happening
in The Force Awakens. That right. was all the way back when that movie came out.
Right,
that they were talking about there was going to be an Anakin Force ghost that went between machine and man.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Which is why I'm saying, again, it seemed like a lot of these ideas almost seem like recycled, or people mistakenly thought they were going to be in the first film, these leakers,
sure.
and then realized, oh, no, this is actually an idea for later.
For later on.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, makes you wonder, then, what in the world was Rian Johnson, or sure. I guess it's Rian Johnson, but what was he doing then? Did he not just, like, did they just say, oh, yeah, I don't really care what's on your scripts? Who knows?
Yeah.
So that one's interesting. I mean, I don't have a problem with that coming back, and that's kind of the whole tying it all together thing, mm-hmm. was that by having Anakin back, and then I guess Yoda back, Luke back, Obi-Wan back, like all these main characters are going to be in this film in one way or another.
Tied up in a neat bow.
Right.
Yes.
Like apparently J.J. has stated to some people behind the scenes, not publicly, that his goal in this film is to take all of the TV shows that have been done, the Clone Wars and the Rebels,
and
all the movies, and make them into one nice bow.
Well, he's got a challenge.
Yeah, I don't see how that's possible, but you know what? If he can do that, he might save the trilogy from disaster.
That leads us to another rumor, right? So mm-hmm. there's been thoughts out there that this movie might be so long and the longest of the franchise that it mm-hmm. could possibly be broken up into two movies.
Right. At first they were saying maybe it'll be a 3-hour movie. And it's like, I don't know if you want a 3-hour movie.
No.
That's a long time,
Two and a half is pushing it.
Even. Yeah. Infinity War was great. And that was right up against 2.5 hours. Another half an hour, man, that's like, those are those movies where you're like, I really don't want to leave, but I got to pee so bad that I'm not paying attention to the story as much anymore, you know? I don't know.
Or
just too much.
Or it's, the editing's poor, you know?
I mean, the two favorite films of most people, or at least our generation, you know, is 4 and 5, and they were like 2 hours and like 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know? And then you can, sometimes dragging things out is not always important.
Yeah,
you know?
Star Wars is short.
Yeah,
like
show
an hour and like 22 minutes or something.
No. Episode
A
episode,
New Hope. A New Hope.
No, it's like 2 hours and 1 minute or something like that.
A New Hope's that long?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested.
I think. I thought I was just reading because they were talking about the Star Wars times because of this one being maybe two and a half hours, 3 hours, or two movies, and so they kind of listed the ones, and I'm pretty sure the 4 and 5 were the two shortest films, but they were both over 2 hours.
Wow,
I thought it was 2 hours and like 1 minute.
Maybe Return of the Jedi was 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just think it was that Star Wars was so action packed and well edited that they went by really quick. That was always a big deal for George. George always wanted his movies to be fast in Star Wars. It was was always supposed to be the quick cut scenes.
No, you're right. 2 hours, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then what about Empire? And don't think I have like some vast knowledge base here. I read about this stuff like yesterday or 2 days ago. That's why I was thinking of it. Or
I don't know why I'm having trouble finding this one, but I am.
Try IMBD maybe. Do 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 do.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass right now.
Empire Strikes.
So the Last Jedi was 2 hours and 32 minutes. I didn't realize it was that long.
Well, it felt like 10
either
years.
Way, that's
2 hours and 7 minutes okay. for Empire,
and then Return of the Jedi was right about
2 hours
that.
And 16 minutes, yeah, for okay. Jedi, yep. And then it was 216 minutes exactly again for Episode One.
Huh.
Episode Two was 2 hours and 22 minutes, and Episode Three was 2 hours and 20 minutes. Man, I have so much more respect for Attack of the Clones after seeing what Rian did. So, or Ruin, or Ryan, or whatever the hell his name is.
Ruin
Johnson.
that's a
Facebook group I'm a member of.
That's a good one.
Okay. So this one I like. Well, okay. I like it and I hate it. What I like is the Hutts are back.
Yeah.
I want the Hutts back. Yes, yeah. They should have been the central villain, in my opinion, of the new films.
Another villain that didn't make our list.
Oh, yeah. I should have put Jabba. I didn't want to have three Star Wars villains.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But Jabba was a great villain. And so it's Jabba's son. So I love the idea of the Jabbas. I don't like the idea of the Jabba's son.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just weird.
How do the Hutts procreate?
I'm guessing like snakes. So like the woman plops out eggs and then the guy drops his goo all over it. And then that's it, I think, is how it works.
Got it.
That's my guess. They're slugs, right? But this is why I don't understand how Lucasfilm is doing things. And this is a great example of how they just don't seem to... Well, I'm not that confident in this movie. They just don't seem to have... They don't have the right thought process. And that is, they're trying to build nostalgia the wrong way. Like, bringing back all the characters just to bring them back is not a way to build nostalgia. And making them their old characters again, right? It's like, oh, so Han's a smuggler again. Oh, so Leia's a leader of a rebel group again. It's like, really? They didn't advance at all?
Yeah.
But the one person that did change, Luke, you changed into a wimp? I mean, that, you know, what are you thinking there? And then this other thing is like, it's like with the Empire. They've got TIE fighters that look a little tiny bit different. They've got Star Destroyers that look a little bit different. They've got Imperial Walkers that are taller than the old ones. But then they had the old ones, too. It's like... We still don't know what the First Order is. Like, it's like, are you the Empire? Were you came out of the Empire somehow? I mean, why are you even different than the Empire?
It's almost like they commandeered and overtook the Empire and then made it better, or tried to make it better.
Yeah, I guess like they said they had just like fragments of it around the galaxy, and then Snoke pulled them into one or something. Mm-hmm. We'll never know because they didn't bother to explain anything.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, that kind of nostalgia, and then the Hutts are the same way. It's like the only fan service nostalgia they're willing to do is the stuff that's so heavy-handed. You're like, they didn't want that. Mm-hmm. It reminds you of when you work at a job where you're working like overtime every day, and you don't want to work overtime every day, and so they complain to management. So they hire so many people that no one even works a full schedule anymore. And you're like, why do you have to be an a-hole and do it one way or the other? Why can't you do the middle ground? Why can't you say, oh, here we hired one new person, now you guys can all cut your overtime down by 8 hours a week? You know, it's like, oh, great middle ground. But no, it's like, got to punish you for wanting something. But yet Marvel doesn't do any of that. It's just confusing.
Mm-hmm.
The last one that I know for sure of that has been said to be in the movie is DJ, who was the hacker, Benicio del Toro, from, I mean, obviously Rose, Finn, Rey, Kylo, all those people are going to be in the new one.
Right.
But these are just like other characters that you weren't sure about.
Mm-hmm.
Why he's in the new one, I have no idea. Who cares?
Do we know about Chewbacca?
I assume Chewie's in it. I think he's signed.
And the droids will definitely be in it.
Right, but they get such tiny parts, right? Well, BB-8 will be a lot of it, but... R2, D2, and 3PO have been marginalized so much.
No, I know, but they'll be in it, right?
Sure.
They've been in all of them.
Except for Han Solo.
Oh, they weren't in Han Solo?
Nope. Maul was, but you know, not the droids.
Darth Maul.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a cool scene. Actually, to me, it kind of helped. I didn't like him being in it in terms of story context, but it gave us something interesting to watch because it wasn't a very exciting movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't a bad movie. It was just a caper movie, you know, but it's just, it's lackluster, like all the films, except for even Rogue One in the first, you know, hour is a little lackluster, although I appreciate it more and more as time goes on because it was actually fun to watch. There's also one thing I don't understand. So there's been all the controversy about it's being too minority inclusive or trying to be too, feminist or, you know, people don't like calling, you know, Rey, Mary Sue, you know, and all this other kind of stuff that people are freaking out on, like all these issues that actually caused IMBD to stop having a message board because of all the you know, just horrible things that people were saying all the time.
Trolling, basically.
Yeah. Just people had no life. And what I don't understand is it, you know, the first film I was like, you guys are blowing this stuff all out of proportion, you know, from The Force Awakens. There isn't that much of any of this stuff. The cast was more diverse. Because George Lucas couldn't have a diverse cast because he couldn't afford anything, and they were in England. They couldn't get any extras that were of a different race. Everybody in England is white, so it's like that was just like it was a budget thing. It had nothing to do with, you know, anything else. And then he tried to include it by bringing Lando and some other characters in his films, but then everybody freaked out about The Force Awakens doing it's all, you know, it's all social justice warrior or whatever, and like none of that's actually going on in that film.
Yeah.
But then The Last Jedi comes out, and it did feel like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Holdo, you're like, this woman gives a speech that sounds exactly like maybe like a Nancy Pelosi speech at a rally for a women's march, right? Which I'm not dissing that whole political movement. I'm just saying, why is that in the movie?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Star Wars, you know? And plus, she's the second in command of the resistance and the general of the fight.
We've never seen her.
Well, no, for me, it's the dress.
Oh, yeah.
She's wearing this evening gown. You know, Lucas did tunics type things in Star Wars.
I think they tried to mold it, you know, after Mon Mothma, maybe.
But except hers was like a ceremonial type looking thing.
Yeah.
And like a cape or whatever over the top.
That's good.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Like a judge.
Yeah.
Like a justice or a scholar, you know?
Sure.
It just looked like Holdo was at a party. And then that speech, I mean, again, I'm not against Laura Dern. Same thing with Kelly Tran or whatever, who did Rose Tycho. I hated both characters. Don't hate the actors at all.
Because it felt
Don't blame the actors at all.
Yeah.
They were thin.
Yeah.
Their characters were so thin. They said the same. They did the exact same thing to Leia, which is why I'm almost glad she can't be, you know, the actress didn't get her own movie. Because
right.
They would have destroyed her character, too.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they just, it's just so wishy-washy. And it's like, for all the talk about them being feminist, it seems like giving such weak, making main female characters such weak characters in the show is the exact opposite of what you're trying to do in a feminist type idea. So I'm just baffled by that.
Yeah, I mean,
thing.
It just makes you wonder what his thought process was through the whole thing, you know?
Don't you just wonder what the pitch meeting was like?
Yeah, I just don't get that there wasn't more screening done, you know, like, maybe it was a time thing for them, and it's like, gosh, if we don't just get this movie made, guys, we're going to be in big trouble.
I think, they might have put too ambitious of a time schedule on everything.
I think that might have something to do with it. But then, you know, you think about the creative aspect of it. Like, somebody comes in, they're trying to make an impression. You know, this is like one of the most important, you know, franchises in movie history. However, I want to put
definitely
my,
the biggest,
but I want to put my stamp on it. So I want it unique, but you know, I think they lose touch with paying homage, you know, and it's like, hey, there is a storyline here and there is a tradition and a culture established and all these things kind of, I think, get lost in the shuffle because of all this pressure and politicking and things that are happening in Hollywood, you know, even and just a personal impression, right? Like, you know, Rian Johnson trying to, you know, come in and be like, I'm going to make my stamp on Hollywood with this movie.
Right.
You know?
It's like, if you had made a great movie that the Star Wars fans loved, then that would have given you everything you'll ever want, because it'll be like, oh, this guy crushed Star Wars, you know? And instead, it was like he went out of his way to, like, to me, it feels like, and I don't know if this was a conscious thing, but it definitely seems to have occurred that they went, okay, what is everything fans want to see? Okay, none of that's going to happen.
Right.
We're not going to do any fan service. We're not going to do anything people expect. It's going to be all crazy. It's like, no, that's not what people want. People don't want you to be 100% ignoring them and be 100% surprised. What you do is you take 25% of what they want, and then you spin it into new directions and things. But Leia should have been the leader, right? Han and Leia should have been married, and Luke should have been having a Jedi temple. Now, you want to have the temple crumble because of a bad Jedi? Fine. There's a good movie arc.
Right.
Do that. But to just, it almost felt like they said everything what you would want to have seen either happened in the past or will happen sometime in the future, and we're going to show you this middle part. We're going to try and make it all new and gooey. And it's like, why not do that with Rian's own trilogy that he's supposed to get? I hope he's still not going to get it. Or the Game of Thrones guys who are doing their trilogy of films. Do that. Experiment with those movies.
Yeah.
Close out the Skywalker saga by keeping it in the saga, keeping everything the same.
Yeah, they're just I don't think there was enough respect paid to the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And they just lost touch with it because of all the different outside factors.
And how weird does it feel that we're two films in, we didn't even get a lightsaber battle in the second film. They fought back to back with their lightsabers, but there wasn't a single lightsaber clash in that movie, which is just baffling. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's like, come on, man. Those sounds are iconic. And then no great space battles. And yet, the craziest part is they crushed Rogue One. At least the final third of Rogue One was brilliantly done. Yeah. And whether that was reshoots or whatever, because there was like a lot of reshoots that were done. But I mean, that space battle, dude, I still on YouTube will go to watch that, just the space battle parts, you know?
Yeah.
Was one of the coolest fights. I mean, just awesome. And then the Vader thing, awesome. Again, there was like two or three things that people really wanted to see. They wanted to see the same kind of space battle from Star Wars and Darth Vader crushing some people. Awesome. There's your fan service, right?
Yeah.
Only made up a third of the movie. And in fact, the Vader part was only just a couple of minutes of the movie.
If that.
Everything else is brand new. Everything else in that movie was brand new. And people loved it.
Yep.
And yet, people online, you hear like the people who are like defend Last Jedi, it's like that was just all fan service.
Well, there was fan service, but there was character development. You know, you had some characters that had some depth to them that you really cared about,
and added depth to stories we'd already known because now we knew a lot more about the Death Star and who made it and where it came from.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
You just added depth. You didn't take anything away. And I just feel like that's what they've been doing with this new trilogy, is trying to take all the depth of the characters and the story away. As like a way of saying, this is how we're transitioning to a new story. Right. But I just don't see how this in one film they tie this whole thing up. I just don't understand.
I don't understand how they do it either. I think there's got to be some way for Rey to be related to Luke.
Or related to somebody.
Yeah, related to somebody.
Which, again, I don't care if she's not related to anybody. But when you make her parentage and finding her parents such a big part of the first movie, and then just make it nothing in the second movie, which, you know, among all the other bafflingly bad things that were done.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be hard to overturn. You can't really do it right, because if you just come back and see,
Well, what he's going to say is,
oh, he lied.
Kylo, is Kylo was lying to her. Yeah. That's all he's going to say.
Right.
And so she's going to run into her mother or father or whatever, and she's going to say, don't you know who I am, or something like that. And then you're going to find out, oh, she's a Force sensitive, and that's why Rey's so powerful, and you know, she was another, maybe she was, I wouldn't be shocked if they say she's a spawn
Luke,
Anakin.
And Luke didn't know that he was her father because he was estranged from Mara.
There's a, I could easily see him doing that.
A lot of different storylines, I think, that could take him away from it. But
so where are the Rebels going to get, or the Resistance, excuse me, their copying of the Rebels, where are they going to get a fleet?
Their resources?
Yeah. They had nothing.
I don't know.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Is that what Lando is? Is Lando going to show up from some private sector and he's got access to all these ships or something?
I think Lando's going to be a source of resources for them.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Source of resources. I like that.
I do. I think he'll be that. That person, you know, providing all the resources.
I'll tell you what's funny. One thing that I actually would love to see, and I don't think that this is going to happen. Oh, sorry. This thing's going to start playing. I don't want it to play. So you recently read the Thrawn trilogy, correct?
Yes.
So what I'm wondering is, I believe it's in that one, right? Where Thrawn finds the lost Katana fleet, right? It's like 200 Star Destroyer class ships or something like that.
Wait, say that again.
Doesn't Thrawn find the lost Katana fleet?
The Dreadnoughts?
Yeah. Was it called the Katana fleet or is it the Dreadnoughts fleet? I can't remember.
But the Katana fleet is the name of the fleet.
Oh.
But the Dreadnought is the type of ship, right?
Oh, okay. So the same thing. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so it was like 200 of them, right? Or 300?
It's a few.
Yeah. And so then that gives them a force to actually attack the New Republic.
Yeah, right.
So that's a really good idea. Timothy Zahn had a lot of really good ideas. That's one they should, they take some stuff from the EU and just throw it in. Take that part, you know?
Yeah, Thrawn was a hit, right? He was a big
But
hit.
I mean, but a way that the rebels could end up finding a fleet, the same thing. Sure. Find a lost rebel fleet or a lost empire fleet or something like that. And then also now you've got ships. That's the only way I can think of coming up with a fleet.
No, I think that would be a good plot twist, right? They end up back on some sort of planet, and there's this huge faction underground,
sure,
kind of hiding but preparing and loading up, and, right? Like,
I mean, how disappointed are you going to be if in the new film they just suddenly have a bunch of capital ships and fighters and go to war with the New Republic?
Yeah, super or
the,
pissed. Cause, yeah. Right. They don't really ever say, though, if, like, were they all just kind of off doing some mission, or was that the whole resistance?
No, that was the resistance was leaving that base when the First Order came in the front of the beginning of the Last Jedi to wipe them out, and that's when they got off, and that's like all their ships when they lost all those bombers. Yeah,
I mean, they lost,
so they never
them
had
all.
A fleet really.
There was, and there's what, 20, 30 people left, if that.
So no big Star Wars fight. No big space battle, no big lightsaber fights. I mean, it just seems like such an easy formula to not screw up, you know? Even if you wanted to go vanilla that first film and just kind of get people's trust back that you're going to be conscious of what you're doing, fine. But have something interesting, something to talk about. I mean, think about it. The only thing that people were talking about with The Last Jedi was how bad the plot holes were. That's not the kind of talking you want about your film. You want people to be like, I wonder about this. I wonder about that.
I would have been okay with certain things. Like, okay, so the Force can do things that we've never seen before in Episode 8. I would have been okay with that had the storyline been okay. You know?
Or had it, or are the Force powers that you're introducing making sense?
Yes.
You know, the projection thing, fine. I don't have a problem with that much.
Right.
The connection between Rey and Kylo, I didn't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You know, Snoke was doing that. Mm-hmm. But like Luke just dying after doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, it just took so much out of him that he died? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's, at least give us a hint to him doing that kind of thing, or that he was close to death already, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Which they could revisit that, but then it just makes two all that much worse.
Right. I mean,
or eight.
How much retconning is JJ going to do, and how much is that going to ruin the whole mystique, which is pretty much already ruined?
Well,
but
what do you do? I mean, he's kind of got two choices, right? He's either got to
barrel ahead or.
Well, I think, he can take the approach of, okay, I've got to fix this and tie up all these loose ends. And it's going to look good on my end, but I'm going to sure make, number 8 look as bad or worse, than it was because of what I'm doing, which, might tarnish the franchise. Or do I maybe leave some open ends to kind of cover up some of the flaws?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's it'll be interesting to see. It's got to be one of those two approaches. I mean, I don't know how else he really goes, unless he just totally does a 360, or a 180, I mean, and just goes in a new direction. But
at what point you're going, you got to tie things up. You can't start new stories now.
Yeah, if they leave,
and there's the problem.
And if they don't start tying it up pretty quick into the first hour of the movie, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be pissed.
Right, because then you're gonna start thinking Lost all over again.
Yeah,
where you just didn't answer anything. Yeah. And it's like, and then don't ask questions and then do nothing.
Yeah, and then the last 20 minutes will be a fucking, and maybe that's just gonna be JJ's mark from now on. He's gonna leave things open ended on every movie he does. So
well, he's got to do something big here because otherwise he's gonna go down. And I realize that the newer fans may not feel this way, and so it probably won't follow him career-wise. But for all the old fans before we die off, in 20 years or hopefully at least 20 years or 30 years, is going to be that he pretty much ruined Star Wars and Star Trek. And
right.
Not that he didn't ruin Star Wars. I mean, ruin did that. But J.J. didn't do any favors by rebooting everything in a super condensed, super fluffy, Force Awakens.
Right.
But at least it has some parts, right? It's got a pretty decent aerial battle between TIE fighters and X-Wings. You don't get the big space battle you want, but you get a little bit of a battle.
Right.
And you have a little fun with the lightsaber fights in the snow. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
very cool. It was very innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And the Millennium Falcon scenes on Jakku were outstanding.
Yep.
That was fun.
Yep.
I love watching that. I still do. In fact, I still think that JJ had the feel right. He had the aesthetic right. Like, I don't have a big problem with him doing the films in that sense.
I agree.
The fact that he didn't respect certain themes, and the biggest thing for me with JJ is the weird way he used sound. That he would never let sounds be the forefront until the lightsaber fight, and I always felt like in Star Wars, sounds should always be at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And the explosions of TIE fighters and things while they were in fighting were quiet. The blaster bolts were quiet unless they were like the central part of the scene. It's like, no, that stuff was always part of the language of Star Wars. Part of the dialogue is that sound and sound effects, and there wasn't enough of that.
Right.
That was prominent to me, but. All we can say is it can't be as bad as what we got before. And we've got a long time. I mean, this thing doesn't come out until a year from Christmas. So
There's
going to be a lot of time to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
There's also one other rumor I was just going to throw out real quick.
Sure.
Yoda is rumored to be Rey's mentor and to train her. And that's where she gets her training is from Yoda.
I heard that as well. Yeah.
So are there any other rumors that you've heard that I haven't brought up?
Nope.
No? None?
The only ones I've heard are pretty much precisely what you've heard. I almost wonder if we have the same source.
All right, there's only so many sources, right?
Yeah.
So, do you, of all the rumors, is there anyone that you really want?
that's a good question. I would, I think if they do it correctly, yes, right? Like, I think, this Force Ghost idea of, an Anakin and a Vader kind of, back and forth.
Phasing kind of thing.
Yeah, in a kind of a sort of cerebral conversation with Kylo Ren. I think that could be cool if it's done correctly and in the right context and such.
Yeah.
And I think bringing together all the Force Ghosts, that again could be really cool, could be really cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this just to freaking like, it could be really cheesy, right? Like,
is it just a heavy-handed way of trying to force these guys back in the movies for a nostalgia fest where you're again doing the fan service the wrong way?
Yeah.
Where
I don't know why, but I like envision this like cavern and Rey's inside, and it's a Force ghost of all of them around in like their Jedi,
like a circle around,
like a
her.
Jedi council meeting.
Yeah,
and it's Qui-Gon and Mace Windu, and they're all there, all of them, and they're talking about something obviously relevant to the plot of the movie. But
Right. That's
kind of like what I see being acceptable. If it's that like kind of context, outside of that, he would have to get creative to impress me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want a space battle. and I want a good one. Yeah. It doesn't have to be super long like in Rogue One, but give me a real battle. Like, you know, Revenge of the Sith, that one wasn't super long, but it was cool. Mm-hmm. I know that they, I mean, I know you could say they had a space battle in the start of The Last Jedi, which I couldn't have thought was worse, because it was one fighter that apparently was able to wipe out every cannon on the thing without, you know, with its new engine, which is just lame. And then all of a sudden they have all these other ships show up, you know, and the bombers come in, and one bomber explodes with its shrapnel, and the shrapnel causes all the other bombers to go out, and that was it. It was over.
Yeah.
And then you had this one ship that somehow, well, I won't get into the whole dropping bombs thing. That was seemed kind of weird, but it was so lackluster. Look at everything in that movie. And I always get mystified when I read people, you know, writing about how they felt it was so deep and so you know, introspective, and in 20 years from now, they'll be told that it was the most epic Star Wars ever. It's like, shouldn't an epic film seem epic when you see it? Shouldn't you walk out of a theater and not say, well, I'm going to go research some stuff online so I understand what happened? No, you should say, wow, that was awesome. Like when I came out of Infinity War and was like, that was awesome.
I guess I can't really, there's only a few movies where I've been like, okay, after watching it a few times, I like it.
Yeah, more. But those are cult film types. Like, Lebowski. Big Lebowski's a great example. Yep. What's another example? Maybe Pulp Fiction, but I loved Pulp Fiction the first time I saw it. Yeah, that's got to be the best example.
Yeah, I would agree.
That just, as more you watch it, then you start, like, I've heard about that about Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Although I don't like that movie at all. I've seen it four times.
Do you like musicals?
Yes, love musicals.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in a house. Yeah. My parents were big in musicals. Yeah. But that was just,
I was gonna say, if you don't like
terrible
musicals, then.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought South Park was brilliant with all their songs sounding like Disney songs, but with all dirty words. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't really think there's anything else about Star Wars except for Jon Favreau is doing that TV show, and it's got a really good big budget. And he's a good director. I really enjoyed Iron Man and stuff that he's made. I mean, among other films.
Yeah, and the premise of it is what again?
I believe it's between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Or I think it's like after the Clone Wars, after but before the maybe the birth of the Resistance or something, or of the Rebels, right. The Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what it, I don't think they've announced.
Do we know who the central characters are or anything like that?
I think it's supposed to be completely outside of the movies.
Got it.
Like stuff that we, you know, like Rogue One. There's all the people that you, well, I mean, you actually did see people that you did know.
Right.
I could see Jimmy Smits getting a role.
Uh-huh,
you know, maybe being like a guy who kind of shepherded things.
Yep.
Maybe Mon Mothma even is in those, but I don't think they've made any announcements on it.
Got it.
What concerns me is Disney wants to start their own streaming service.
Yeah.
And they want to put all their movies on there, because now that Marvel and Star Wars.
Just like a Netflix, basically.
Or a CBS All Access.
Yeah.
And so it's like, wait, now I got to pay for this whole other service just to watch the Star Wars stuff? You know, it's like, well, you're just asking people to download it instead. You should be putting it on, you know, put it on TV, you know?
It's just that whole cable nightmare all over again.
Yep, what we were always hoping for, which was getting to pick our channels. We are going to be able to, but every one of them is going to make their own single channel and want $15 a month for it. And you're just like, you're not all going to have enough content for this to be worth it. Like, I flat out refused to pay for CBS All Access to watch the new Star Trek. I've downloaded them now. I'll watch them at some point. But they killed my enthusiasm for it. Or at least do the first half on TV. Let me get into the show. And I do know that there are benefits to what they did, because you can have swear words, you can have more adult themes, things like that. Oh, that was the last thing about Star Wars. When I was talking about the feminism thing, about them having weak, supposed to be social justice warriors, but having weak female writing characters or dialogue. Mm-hmm. So now JJ is poking that bear by saying Star Wars will have a gay character, right? And it's like, why not say anything? Have a character who's gay, never bring it up, never reference that they're gay, because then you're actually advancing the cause by saying, oh, well, it shouldn't matter that they were gay. Right. That's why we didn't mention it. You know? It's like, but if you go out of your way to say it.
Doing it for the sake of doing it, basically.
Right? Yeah. That's what a lot of these movies feel like.
Yeah.
Like they're doing it for the sake of saying, no, we're going to do what we want.
Sure.
It's like, I agree with your positions,
but why are you forcing that into Star Wars? Mm-hmm. I mean, Lucas dealt with race, but he dealt with it clever. It was the droids, right? They go into the bar, and the droids are told, we don't take their kind here.
Yeah.
So that was their racism. They were racist against droids. And it was a way to show racism without getting into real racism. Lucas was really good about looking at social issues, same way that Gene Roddenberry was, mm-hmm. and bringing them into his films. But with Lucas, it was in a different galaxy, so it was a completely different take or a different point of view for a Star Wars fan. And
well, from that vantage point, I mean, if you're in sci-fi, it definitely behooves you to open up your doors to different races, right? It gives you
absolutely.
More options. And
I mean, if you're trying to get into that subculture, I know that there's the Vogue nerd thing now, but those aren't nerds. I mean, to be an ironic nerd is not the same as being a nerd.
Right.
And part of being a nerd is that you are awkward, and that's why you loved these things, because it made more sense to you. It was a world that made more sense, worlds that were more fair and things like that. And they should keep doing that kind of thing. It should be, you know, like, I'm all okay with the idea of Rey coming from no one special, because then you're saying anyone can be the hero. Great. I have no problem with that. But when you build something up and then trash
Vader,
it,
Anakin came from nobody special, right?
It was just but he was created by midichlorians.
But that's what I'm saying. So if this is, you know, if they want to take that storyline with Rey,
right?
You know,
they could have done that. Yeah,
they still could.
Yeah, I guess, but that's gonna feel super heavy-handed too. You're gonna be like,
but that's what I'm saying.
So now you're rebooting Episode 3. You know, it's just just gets frustrating. So.
It does. Yeah.
I will say I want to see the Hutts. Show me the Hutts. Show me the underground. I think I've told you before, I want a prequel trilogy on Jabba, and I want Quentin Tarantino to direct
it. Yeah. No,
because
I think
it would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Or if it's just one film. But
isn't he doing a Star Trek film?
There's talk about it. Yeah. There's talk about it. He loves Star Trek, and he would like to do that. I just thought that the first R-rated Star Wars movie could be his Jabba film. And it might be a pipe dream, hoping that they ever go R-rated with Star Wars. So, and I also don't want it to go that route where a lot of them become R-rated. I don't, if they have to do that once or twice, like a Deadpool kind of thing, have that one movie for people like, because Deadpool 1 and 2, dude, Deadpool 2 is almost as good as Deadpool 1.
I didn't see 2, but I loved the first one.
Oh, it's
and Ryan
amazing.
Reynolds, it's just like Robert Downey Jr. They were both made to play that role.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just totally fits.
Yeah. I agree. So, all right. Well, I think that's all I really have for Star Wars. So I don't think we have a whole lot else to. Did I not do it again about the gay character? Did we say that? Oh yeah, I did. Okay, he's going to say openly gay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked already.
No. But do we know who it is?
No, and I don't know if it's going to be in this movie.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't know if it's in this movie at all.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I was just wondering, maybe speculating, who it might be.
Gotcha. I mean, I'm sure that there's an internet segment where they'd like it to be Poe Dameron and Finn, because that was a big meme thing for a while, was that they thought they were going to fall in love with each other, and, you know. But it's like, well, it sure seems like Finn had the hots for Rey, so.
Yeah.
But then I guess you could say he's bisexual, and Oscar Isaacson is gay.
Yeah.
And then you're covering two bases, you know. Yeah. And then you could say, oh, and Holdo was a man.
He is pretty flamboyant. Yeah, he is pretty flamboyant, Poe.
He is.
You know.
But, again, funny. Just, you know what, guys? Don't force things. If you're going to make something happen, don't put a spotlight on it. That's what drives people crazy, especially the ones that are, you know, a little more conservative or a little less, you know, open to things. Just don't make a big deal. It's like,
do it and move forward, and then let everybody else make their own judgments, I guess, right?
Like Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast, the movie. My mom was out here visiting. She wanted to go see that, so I went and saw it with her. And it was very similar to the cartoon that I remember from as a kid. And there was that one character that you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it did seem like they had a gay moment, like at the very end, basically. And that was literally it. Like, there was like maybe five frames that you could say, oh, I could see how that could be saying that he was gay. Mm-hmm. But never, he didn't kiss another guy. He didn't do anything.
It wasn't blatant. Yeah.
No, there was nothing in your face about it. And you still have that huge freak out from parents and pastors saying, you can't do this. And then I even had some friends who were like, can I, pretty conservative. They went and saw it, and they were like, oh, there's nothing. It's absolutely nothing to worry about. And it's like our society just has to freak out about stuff. But anyway, that's all I've got. Is there anything you'd like to delve into before we close up this show?
I think that was a good segment. Let's do our final thoughts and move on to next time.
Excellent. I don't really have any other thoughts.
Yeah. Okay.
Any films or games that you're really looking forward to coming out in the near future?
I mean, nothing in the super near future, but obviously, you know, a year down the road is a big year. You know, we've got Avengers coming out. We've got the Star Wars movie, obviously. We're going to have a second Wonder Woman pretty soon.
Okay.
I think that filming has started. Aquaman this winter. I'm interested to see if that's any good or not.
yeah, me too.
I was always a big Aquaman guy. I always liked him in the cartoons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I always thought of him as like the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah. I thought he was always so cool. I don't know. So other than that, I can't really think of anything else that's coming out that I'm super pumped about. I know the Top Gun remake is coming out.
That ought to be
kind of interesting to see how they do that. But
I have still not seen Ant-Man and Wasp, which I think looks good. Yeah. I also want to see Mission Impossible, the newest one, because while I got pretty bored of the Mission Impossibles after for a little while, with like 2 and 3, dude, that Rogue Nation was awesome.
Yeah.
And then this new one is supposed to be great too. So
cool.
You know, they may have found a good franchise.
Yeah.
Gaming wise, I can't think of any big time games coming out. I mean, you got Madden.
Spider-Man's coming out in October, I want to say.
Yeah, they are making kind of a big push on that. I guess I don't know if it's going to be any good because a lot of them have been boring.
Last of Us 2, I think, is coming out at the beginning of next year, I want to say.
Well, I'd definitely play that if that comes out. That was a good game, man. That was a great story.
Yeah.
I love games. If a game can give me anxiety, it's a well-done game. And Resident Evil still does that. I've been playing the old one. The original came out on PlayStation Plus. You can download it for free. And there's all these things that people are winning. Like, there's the no-hit or no-damage run. You get a trophy for that. No damage an entire game of Resident Evil. I don't even know how that's plausible. Like, I guess, I mean, obviously you start over all the time when you get to a certain point.
Yeah, or you know some sort of cheat.
But I don't even know if there are any on the PlayStation. Yeah. So, I mean, there are ways of moving to, like, avoid getting hit and stuff a lot. But, boy, I just can't imagine. There's also another one where you could do the whole thing with only a knife.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you beat the final boss with a knife? I can't even beat a normal zombie with a knife half the time.
Right.
Without getting just throttled. And then there was the timing one, like getting the whole thing done within 2 hours.
Some people have some amazing hand-eye coordination.
Have you seen those super speed players for Zelda and Mario?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like beat the entire game of Zelda in like 32 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, I think as a kid it took me like 9 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
to beat months. That.
Yeah,
now, they do cheat a little bit because they did find that glitch that allows them to jump into certain areas that you couldn't go to ahead of time when we played it the normal way.
Right.
And to skip and to jump places in the maps and stuff, but just to see him taking out the, you know, like taking out all these, like, was it 7 or pieces of the Triforce or whatever you got way back in that first one, and they beat all these demons and dungeons in like minutes, and you're like, dude, what? And the Super Mario thing, where they have to beat the record, they actually can't hit the top of the flagpoles ever because then you have to wait for Mario to slide down the flagpole. And
it takes away from the time.
And if you haven't jumped on the very bottom of it, then it just ends and they can run into the house. And just crazy things people will do to like drop like 0.3 seconds off and stuff. And it's just like, wow, dude. I played Mario a lot as a kid, but boy, I don't think I could do that. But one of these days I do want to get that the retro systems.
Yeah.
A Raspberry Pi would be good, but like the Nintendo or the Super Nintendo ones, you can buy the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that the controllers are always corded, which is annoying, and it doesn't have a long cord for like HDMI, so it's like,
oh geez,
you almost have to play it on your computer laptop your computer screen,
like a beanbag.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I don't want to have go back to the annoying things of having my controller wired to my system. What the hell are you doing? So, I'm sure you can buy wireless, but you know.
I've had Madden for a couple of weeks, but I don't think I've played one game. I think that's it.
So. Yeah, And we're going to get into a league at some point and start our own leagues and stuff. But yeah, it's I haven't done a draft yet. I've gotten close to the first draft of my off season with the I took the Jets, well, I think.
I think at this point we digress. So thanks for listening. It was another good segment. We look forward to the next one, and we'll try to have some content for you up on the offensive website that you can check out, Mark.
Yeah, maybe grab us a little Twitter handle to promote our show. So, all right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Hope that was entertaining in the least and informative in the most. And if you have any requests or questions, go ahead and post them on our website or send them to our Twitter page or Facebook at thesportsoffensive.com. And we'd be happy to include stuff in a future show. So thanks so much for tuning in, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the week.